To my far right, we have Mr. Paul Thomas. His left, Mr. Orval Bo. I'm the chairperson, Alexandra Malone. We have Max Carter and, Beatrice Martinez, our county liaison and acting secretary for today. We also have Jasmine Harris, our county staff member, to help us with any of those questions. Now we will move on to a period of public comment. This is a period for the general public to comment on any items that are currently on the agenda. Oh, William, I didn't see you there. Hi, William. We also have William from Commissioner Perry's office, another county liaison. Period of public comment, if you have any comments about items currently on the agenda but cannot stay for that item, this is your time to speak. Is there anyone who would like to speak? You can't stay for the item that you would like to speak upon, sir?
Well, in reference to his case,
yeah.
I'm his next door neighbor and I've lived across the street from him for 16 years.
Will you be able to stay to hear
yeah,
the item?
Yeah, I'll be here with him.
Okay, great. Perfect. Right. So we'll get to that. You'll have a time to talk then.
Okay,
yep. Thank you so much. Since we do have a few people here today, whenever there are questions and comments on any item that is being presented, anything like that, please address those questions and comments to the board, and then we can make sure that we get it recorded and make sure all your questions get answered. All right, so moving on to the approval of the minutes for our last meeting, December 16th, 2021. Do you have any motion for that? We have a motion to approve from Paul. All those in favor? Aye. Seeing none opposed, motion passes. Moving on to the approval for the agenda for today, January 13th. Any hold, combine, or delete? We have a motion to approve the agenda as printed. All those in favor?
Aye.
Seeing none opposed, motion passes. Going on to informational items, it looks like we have a NDOT presentation. Hi. Yep, we're all set for you.
May I lower my mask to speak a little bit? Just come over here.
Sure.
Hi, good evening, everyone. My name is Ken Lambert. I'm with HDR Engineering this evening. Representing the Nevada Department of Transportation, and David Bowers, who couldn't be here this evening, he's not feeling well. With me also is Alan Affleck, a project manager with the Nevada Department of Transportation. We are here this evening to present the I-11 Planning and Environmental Linkages study that our firm is preparing for the Nevada Department of Transportation. I have a presentation up on the screen. Just going to walk through this. So the purpose of the Planning and Environmental Linkages study is to select a route for I-11 through the metropolitan Las Vegas area. Presently, I-11 is designated, it's signed I-11 south of the Henderson Interchange with 215 and 515 and south into the state of Arizona. It is also designated to the north of Las Vegas on US 95 through the Fast Transportation Act. What is not currently designated is the path that I-11 will follow through Metro Las Vegas, and that is the purpose of our study. We're currently looking at two corridor alternatives, and one of the corridor alternatives has two options associated with it. So I'll walk you through those alternatives and options now. We have a central corridor alternative, which is shown in blue on the map there. That begins at the Henderson Interchange there in the south part of the valley and proceeds north along what is currently designated as I-515 until it meets the Las Vegas Spaghetti Bowl interchange with I-50. Then it would continue to the west and north along US 95 until the terminus point on US 95 just north of the SR-157 Kyle Canyon interchange. That is referred to as the central corridor alternative. We have a western corridor alternative, again beginning at that same common point at the Henderson interchange. It would proceed west along I-215 until it meets an interchange with I-15, then continuing to the west and north along Clark County 215 until a point just north of Ann Road. At that point, there are two options associated with the western corridor alternative. One option would continue northerly along CC 215 along its current alignment until it goes through the Centennial Hills interchange with US 95. Then it would continue again on US 95 to the north until that same terminus point north of SR 157. Both of the two routes that I've just described are on existing corridors only. They are not new alignments. The other option for the Western Corridor alternative would be a new alignment. So again, diverging from the existing CC 215 just north of Ann Road, the new alignment option would use the Sheep Mountain Parkway alignment that is designated through a portion of the Sky Mountain development. So that would, Sky Canyon development, I apologize, would continue on a more northerly alignment until it meets, crosses SR 157 Cowan Canyon, makes a new interchange with US 95 at that same terminus point. So those are the two corridor alternatives, and again, the two options for the Western alternative that we're studying. Part of the Central Corridor alternative lies within the jurisdictional boundaries of the Sunrise Manor area Town Advisory Board. So we're here tonight to present this study to you and to kind of open a dialogue. We want to certainly to understand what the board has to say about this as well as your constituents. We will be submitting letters requesting formal opinions, position opinions from the Town Advisory Board as well as from the county. When we release the study for public review later on this year. But we're here basically to spread the word, get the word out about our study, open up a dialogue, answer any questions you may have before we present the final report as well as some of the recommendations. We have performed a number, quite a bit of outreach on this project in the past. We also did a fairly exhaustive analysis of a number of Eastern Corridor alternatives. This study has actually been going on since the fall of 2019. So in the summer of last year, we held a number of public meetings. I think we had five public information meetings, and we studied about two dozen routes for a potential Eastern Corridor alternative. We had alternative routes that would go both west and east of Frenchman Mountain. The feedback that we got from that analysis was kind of up on the screen right now. Describe some of the characteristics of the Eastern Corridor alternative and why it's been dismissed from further consideration. Yeah, for first off, it's about 36% longer in terms of distance. As a result of that, very little traffic will actually use it. It connects to less transportation activity centers, so it draws very little traffic. So less than 10% of the traffic that would use either the Central Corridor or the Western Corridor would use an Eastern Corridor. It's also a very challenging terrain to build a four-lane interstate facility on. As such, it would cost eight times what a normal interstate facility would cost to build due to its difficult terrain. We also conducted a lot of outreach in the summer of last year around these corridor alternative alignments to the east, and 80% of those expressing opinion were opposed to any Eastern Corridor alternative for I-11. Some of the reasons for that were the recreational uses in that area and the potential concern about environmental impacts. There's a lot of beautiful natural resources out there on Frenchman Mountain. A lot of the agencies, regulatory agencies, and the residents along the foothills of the Frenchman Mountains were really concerned about the impacts of the potential island along that area. So for those reasons, you know, the fact that it costs eight times as much, it draws very little traffic, so it has a really very poor rate of return, and nobody wants it. The state listened, and they've dismissed that Eastern Corridor alternative for further consideration. So now we're down to, again, the Western and Central Corridor alternatives with the two options for that Western alternative. Where we're at in this study is we're gathering this input, we're presenting the same information to all citizens advisory councils and town advisory boards that are potentially adjacent to these corridor alternatives under study. We will be releasing a report in the coming months to the online. I encourage everybody to visit our website at i11nv.com. That's i11nv.com. You can sign up for website updates. You can join our mailing list, and certainly is a good place to provide comments. We will be doing an online meeting to solicit comments. We'll also be soliciting written comments from agencies and those stakeholders that we're dealing with, and we'll be taking that that input and using that input into recommendations, our final recommendations, which will go to PennDOT Federal Highways this summer. And the expectation is that this summer, PennDOT Federal Highways will select a route for I-11 to Metro Las Vegas. So at this point, again, the purpose for us being here is to spread the word, make sure that we get the message out and what you can expect, to answer any questions you may have at this point. And then we'll be here as a resource to work with you all. So there's a number of ways to contact us. We've got an email that's set up for the project. We have a hotline. Our website is also a great resource, and David Bowers is the project manager for this effort. That's his address there at NDOS District 1. So with that, happy to answer any questions.
All right.
Sir, can I get your name and address for the record, please?
You may stand up or stay here.
You can stand up. I just need your name and address for our
name and address. Johnny Flanagan, 1745 Rockville Lane, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89156.
Thank you.
Resident over in Office Christie. But the state's already decided not the east side of our side of town here. Those only the two that they're going to represent. The highway's going to be one of those two now. Yes, sir. And that's going to be a four-lane highway. And whatever it is now, it may be increased.
So the great question. Appreciate that. Matt? Okay. So the two routes, the corridor routes, already exist. With the exception of the Sheep Mountain Parkway option for that western, we're talking about existing. So we're talking about a change in the signage of the freeways, remarking it as Iowa.
Question.
It's already 4 lanes.
It's already 4 lanes?
Minimum.
So the highway is being built for traffic, but the traffic is going to be increased because of truck. My understanding. But it's going to be an interstate highway. Interstate highway takes stuff from Canada to Mexico. So that's going to increase our traffic in this valley, and it's only going to be 4 lanes. Is it going to be later on, if it needs to be 6 lanes because we're growing into a multi-million people here? I think we're 3 million people almost, or 2.5 million in our valley, and it's already where our traffic is real bad at 4 lanes. So you're going to add that traffic, that trucking system, into the 4 lanes that are not efficient now.
So I believe that the four lane that he's mentioning is the requirement for the interstate. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So all they're saying is that we need to decide: is this going to be marked as I-11, or is this going to be marked as I-11? That's the question.
My understanding is it couldn't go through a public area. That's why they did Boulder Highway. That's right out by Boulder, they just missed the town completely. And that's perfect because it takes the traffic away from the city. Now you're going to use what we have, my understanding, use what we have and just change the signs and increase the traffic.
Well, the traffic's going to be there regardless, right? So now we have to decide, do we say, for people who are traveling on I-11, do we go this way?
One thing the traffic's not going to be, if understanding what an interstate does, an interstate allows more traffic.
But what he's saying is there are no additional lanes that are going to be built.
Correct. That's what I'm getting at. What we're doing to ourselves is creating a lock. Interstate highways are for trucking, majority, from Mexico to Canada and throughout the United States. Interstates. Interstate 10, Interstate 20, Interstate 80. And one now. But so what we're doing to ourselves, we need to be careful we make sure that we don't make things worse for traffic.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because let's take this, I'm just going to throw something out at you. Let's do it like Boulder did. Okay? Let's take it away from our city. We don't want to hurt ourselves. I try to go to a doctor from the east side of town. Because we know I don't know how many people live over here, but I can't, there's nothing here. They're all closing down because of, on this side of town, all of our stores are closing down. We have to go to Henderson to shop. We have to go other places to shop because we have no highway. We have no highway on this side of town. I'm from a place, Houston, Texas. I was raised there, and I've been raised in Texas for 40 years. I've been here for 22 years. And the mistake we're making is we're going to choke ourselves. Because once they open that highway up to the trucking, we're going to choke ourselves. And who's going to pay for the accidents? Who's going to pay for the trucking that takes to potholes that are going to do through our four-lane highway? Who's going to pay for all this? That $38 million that would have took that highway around our town, or $38 trillion, whatever it is more feasible for us to live here because of the inconvenience it's going to cause down the road. We already are, our houses have gone up quite a bit. People are moving here. Our town going to go from 2.5 million, our town, our valley, it's called Las Vegas Valley, is going to go 2.5 million to 3.5 million. Another million people coming here on a four-lane highway. Then we're going to add the trucking system into that. So we need to be careful. I'm with the people. I love my valley, even though I wasn't born here. But I see a lot that's happening, that's going to happen because of this interstate. And a lot of people say, well, yeah. They're not going to change the signs.
Johnny, I'm so sorry. Do you have any questions that we have for Ken?
I apologize. Do we have any more questions there? Is this locked in iron, or can we get around this? Can we get another option?
So there actually was a study that was done in 2014 that looked at a number of routes around these things. And the results of that study found that the best route was actually a route that was closer to the valley, because it would connect with some existing activity centers. People were interested in getting access to ILM rather than having it, circumvent the valley at that time. There was more people that wanted that type of access. So that's why we're looking at, the focus of this study was to drive the range of alternatives down and then look at the impacts related to those specific alternatives. The many alternatives that we did study to the east, worked with a lot of different partners over there to look at those impacts, and despite the 24 different alternatives that we looked to the east, we just might not find an alternative that didn't have a significant adverse environmental impact, your agency regulatory impact. The Park Service was an absolute authority on what you put in their property. They have to approve the use. They were dead set against putting an interstate in a national park. All of the people that have bought that land, all that equestrian area, all those recreational uses, ATV uses, they were terribly concerned about, losing the reason why they invested in those properties. But like I said, 80% of people were dead set opposed to this. And the costs, 8 times the terrain is extremely aggressive to build a four-lane interstate on. So it just didn't pencil out. Nobody wanted it. Nobody would grant the land for us to do it. So, that's a tough thing. So right now, to answer the question, sir, we are resolved to these remaining ones.
And I want to comment because, and I think I got you here. We heard this same stuff 30, 35, 40 years ago that left the east side. The people you're talking to orphaned in this valley when we built this huge beltway, NDOT built this huge beltway that didn't service us, the taxpayers in the east, because you left out the east side. And now you're talking about doing the same thing, and it's the same arguments, and it's going to be the same arguments in 20 years. We keep kicking the can down the road about fixing the access for us, and we're hearing the same thing again. Did you ask any of us what we wanted to do? No, you asked everybody else and the developers, but you didn't ask the people who live here. And that's the frustration here. It's just like we look out here on 95, and we've heard constantly it's NDOT that does it to us. There's been promises of an off-ramp, an on-ramp, at Sahara 95 for over 20 years, and it never happens. We got the most dangerous intersection in the valley that you now want to make an intersection with I-11, Charleston and Lamb, leading into the 95, because it's the only thing that empties down here. But when they decide to build a private hospital, all of a sudden NDOT can finance putting in an off-ramp at Galleria. But us existing citizens are ignored. And that's the frustration here. Because you're saying that now, you've already eliminated doing anything for our side of the valley. And that's wrong.
I have one more thing to say, and that wasn't a question. We, the people from the east side, are getting fed up with dogs. When there's been cops killed because of the red light of red lights, there's been people killed because of the light of red lights. You know, this is what one politician told me, we don't pay enough taxes because they take care of our stuff that on the side of town. I think that we, the people from this side of town, really need to get together, sign a petition against that. And let's start from scratch and go over again. That's my throw out as a citizen of the East Side. Let's start over. Doc, I love you. You're of the state. Represent us pretty good. It's only a job to you. But we the people that have been stepped on once or twice, or four or five times. And I can take you back to
Johnny, I'm so sorry.
Thank
you so
much.
I'm so sorry. I usually only give two minutes to people for every item, so I let you go on. I'm so sorry. I just need to.
Okay, go ahead and sign the petition so we can do it again.
And we have county liaisons here representing our commissioners. I'm sure they would love to give you their business cards so we can get you in contact with the right people. Thank you so much. Do we have any other questions? Thank you.
I'd like to make a comment too. Thank you for bringing all of us. Side, if you can rule out the 515 altogether, because that's our only east side's only access to the freeway system is the 515. If you put all this other traffic on it, because we're talking about your truck, this is going to make the spaghetti bowl different. Yes, there is. So your only option is going to be the 215, because you couldn't take east side couldn't handle all that traffic going to the spaghetti bowl every day, all the time. Still a lot of citizens here to get on the freeway to get anywhere. Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible. I avoid it. I drive clear down to Martin Luther King or Rancho down Bonanza to get on the freeway to go west. That's what you have to do. Take that back and talk about that. I've been doing that for 3 or 4 years now.
I will give the board one bit of encouragement. Hopefully this is in the news. Maybe it is. But are you aware of the county's Hollywood Boulevard?
Yeah, of course we are.
It's been across the wash.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was one of our 24 alignments we looked to extend to I-11 would have run kind of parallel to that. And, you know, there was some opposition to us having a parallel corner to that Hollywood Boulevard alignment. But that Hollywood Boulevard alignment would provide a really important additional crossing. There's very few crossings in Las Vegas Wash, as you know, so that's a good 4-lane arterial that's going to open up some access to
this. Decades ago, that's right.
So that's moving forward at the direction of the county, and that seems like a positive addition to transportation.
In fact, decades ago, they were going to run down Lamb Boulevard to that one of the big top priority projects. That would have been so bad. That would have been kind of good to make a loop like that in Dallas, around the city. That would have been right from the south to Centennial that had that. But that never happened. Anyway, you can just rule out the 515 because people here can't get on the highway to get anywhere right now. Now, if you look at the demographics of this, everything, there's not much west of the 215. There's not going to be much development there west of the 215. Okay? Summerlin, I mean, there's all, you got the park up there, you know, and you got the mountains, and you won't have much development up in that area. Compared to what you've got east of the 250 in Central City Core. Okay? So I think your only option is to do what you're going to do. And I know you're going to do it because it's cheap. You pay nothing to put this in. Whereas if you went around Sunrise Mountain, you'd have to build a new road through bad terrain. But you're getting this land for free. Where are you going to hook it up? Through the valley? You're not going to spend nothing on it, basically. The that's all developed. You need to use what the existing infrastructure is. That's the problem, okay? East side, no access now. It's only going to be worse if we do try and hook it up. West side, they're not going to have as much growth as you already have the populous nest east of that. That's all we got to say about that.
Any other questions or comments?
Okay.
Paul?
It already is hooked up. The I-11 is hooked up to 515 and 215 now. It just isn't fine. It is 6 lanes across, not 4. Majority of the way. But it still causes a lot of problems. Once you're just vehicle, you can't direct truck traffic out. You know, you're going to, but most of them only go to the 15. So they're going to go through that way anyway, regardless of how you mark it. You know, that truck's coming down here now, they go that way. You know, your biggest concern is ours over here is getting some more entrance ramps off of some of our streets. So we're a couple of other ones down here that were promised to us a long time ago.
Well, look up, so highway assumption would pick up a lot more distance when it fixes everything downstream. There's other states and cities. Yeah, they get a lot more traffic.
That's consistent.
But like I said, they're still going to go through that way to get to the 15.
Yeah, and imagine what it's going to do with the mess that they made of just a few years ago with Project Neon, did all of this beautiful work and made it worse for us Eastsiders coming from the 15 getting onto the 95. They totally destroyed that interchange there. And now you're talking about making that interchange so somebody coming in on the 15 to go onto the 95, which will now be the 11, it's a disaster. And you know, we suffered through all of that building down there, and NDOT decided to take and, again, orphan the east side and leave it down to where 3 lanes jam into one on a lane that eliminates as you try to get on the 15 from the 95 heading to the east side. It's like NDOT doesn't care about this side of town. And I know that's not true, but that's what it sure looks like. That if you go out to the more affluent suburbs, yeah, we'll put a beltway in to handle the developers. Yeah, you want to build a new hospital in Henderson, we'll put a new off-ramp in for you. But you won't do anything to fix us. All you want to do is put more traffic through our neighborhoods.
Any other questions or comments?
Okay, thank you so much, Ken. I think there was a slide with contact information.
Yeah, so, you know, we do... Something is very true about the study process is everything that needs to stick needs to be documented. It's very important to document the concerns. So everything that you said tonight, everything that we hear tonight, I'd encourage you, please get that in writing, communicate us, make it a matter of the project record. It's very important that this happens to make the voices heard. So please take the time to write the email, go to the website, sign up for the updates. Put your thoughts on record, please. Well, whatever they do.
Great. Thank you. Johnny, I'm so sorry. We have to move on past this item. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time.
See, when they cut you off like that, we'll never get it done. You on the board need to listen to us. We only got 2 minutes.
Sir, we absolutely want you to, as he mentioned, we want you to put your opinions to record. We definitely want that, but we have to move on to a different item now.
If we don't protest together, call me. You have my phone number. You don't help us on this side of town. There's like the other one can. We're going to be. You know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'll leave that information up on the screen.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Ken.
Thank you very much for your time.
All right. Our first item for the January 18th Planning Commissioner agenda. Application UC210634 Speedway Commerce Center LLC, amended holdover use permits for the following: 1, minor training facility no longer needed; 2, medium manufacturing previously not notified; and 3, major training facility previously not notified within an existing office warehouse complex on a portion of 97.7 acres in an M1 light manufacturing AE70 and AE75 zone, generally located on the east side of Hollywood Boulevard and the south side of Centennial Parkway, alignment within Sunrise Manor. And even address for the record, please.
Good evening, Madam Chair. Tony Celeste, 1980 Festival Plaza Drive, here on behalf of the applicant. Along with me is Mr. Diaz, and I'll give a second to link up so you can see what I'm presenting.
Got to find it first.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's been a... I can... you want me to wait, I can.
Can you unplug the wall? You see that plug behind the speaker? Behind the speaker? Yep, can you just unplug that from the wall? Yes, we'll see if that works. Perfect.
Better turn the camera on.
There we go. So, yes, as was indicated, this board is familiar with it. You did approve it a couple weeks ago. But just to refresh your memory, here's the site route and the speedway. There was a notification error in conjunction with the manufacturing aspect of the bullets. There's also going to be a training on how you actually load them. So that is now, we're kind of catching up to that. So when we go to Planning Commission next week, it can all be heard together. So that requires a use permit, just like the manufacturing part of it does. You can see we do have it's zoned M1, so it's in the appropriate zoning district where you want something like this. Here's the site, exactly where we're going, about 5,000 square feet, plenty of parking. We appreciate staff's favorable write-up, and I'm here to answer any questions or if you have anything technical for Mr. Diaz. He is available as well. So with that, I'm more than happy to answer your questions.
Thank you so much, Tony. We will now move on to questions and comments from the public on this item. Seeing none, questions and comments from the board?
Move to approve.
We looked at it before. It's going to be a training school, and now it's going to be manufacturing, ammunition manufacturing facility.
Correct. So I'll let Mr. Diaz get into it's pretty specific, so I want him to explain it correctly.
There you go. Richard Diaz, 6213 Olympic Gold Street in North Las Vegas, Nevada. I brought training aids, quite honestly. What we're going to do is we're going to make 9mm bullets for reloading purposes. Okay, there's no ammo involved, probably no powder involved, or anything like that. Quite simply, I take raw piece of lead, form it in our presses into a core for a 9mm jacket, which is that right there. Then through our process, we're going to seat that core, and through some proprietary things, we're going to make feats. A full metal jacket 9mm bullet and just a soft lead tip 9mm bullet. And that's just for reloading purposes and things like that. The classes, quite honestly, are just another revenue stream for the business itself, because I've been waiting for this for 7 months now. All right, so I'm definitely running out of money myself. The classes are simply just for people who are interested in reloading their own ammunition. Bring them in, show them how to do it, show them the ins and outs, teach them things that you can't learn online, and possibly buy some equipment from me to help them along with what they want to do. Our class is sized, I think the permit is for maximum 30. We probably will never go over 15.
Comments?
They already did.
Okay. But you can have, now when you do, you're not going to do any more powder for your own operation. You're
no.
Just going to make the most of the cases. And when the kids come in, the trainees come in,
yes, after we go give them all the pair of instructions, safety and all that, we'll have probably 1 pound of gunpowder on hand. Because I don't want to insult anybody's intelligence, but we work with grains, which is a unit of measurement and weight. 9mm bullet has 4.7 grains of powder. And put that in perspective, 1 pound of powder will get you probably 50,000 grains.
Your motion?
just put the motion on.
So you do have a motion to approve, which with all staff recommendations, all those in favor?
Aye.
Seeing none opposed, motion passes. Thank you so much, Shane.
Thank you.
All right, the next item for the January 19th Board of County Commissioners meeting. Application ZC210676, Joseph Family Land LP. Zone change to reclassify 17.6 acres from an RE Rural Estate Residential, AE65 and AE70 zone, and an H2 General Highway frontage zone to an MD Design Manufacturing, AE65 and AE70 zone. Waiver to development standards for the following: one, landscaping, and two, allowed modified driveway standards. Design reads for the following: one, warehouse and distribution center, and two, finished grade. Generally located on the south side of Las Vegas Boulevard North and the west side of Marion Drive in Sunrise Manor.
Yes, good evening, Madam Chair, Town Board members. Again, Tony Celeste, address 1980 Festival Plaza Drive. Here on behalf of the applicant, Delphin Industries, we've got architect Chris Teachman with me here for any technical questions. First, this is really a two-part application, first being a zone change and the second being the design review. So first, I will address the zone change aspects of it. The site right here is located on Las Vegas Boulevard, just east of Lamb in this area. Marion is located here. You can see it's kind of a reverse or an L-shaped type property. The property is master planned business design research park. One of the allowed zoning districts within that is MD, so it does conform to your master plan. On top of the conformance to the plan, you can see right here, again, our site is dual zone, RE, and some highway frontage, but we have MD just to the east of us, M1 to the west of us, MD across the freeway here. So you can see not only from just the land use plan does it comply, but just existing zoning patterns, there are some, by way of example, M1 that are more intense. So we appreciate staff's favorable recommendation on the zone change aspect of it. Regarding the design review portions, here is our site plan. Again, just to orient you, we have Las Vegas Boulevard that is generally to our north, and then we have Gallivan alignment right here, Marion Road on our east. We're proposing, as you can see, two warehouse buildings, one just shy of 65,000 square feet and one just over 236,000 square feet. Main access will be along Las Vegas Boulevard here with another access point on Marion. A couple of things we think we did correctly, hopefully you agree with us, is the way we've designed the loading docks. They are all interior to the site, facing away from any residential, away from others, so then all loading activity is in here and shielded. We do have a waiver with respect to the throat depth in this location right here. It is 52 feet in this area, but in working with Public Works, and as you can see, we do have a recommendation of approval from Public Works on this waiver. It was very important this corridor right here and right here to be kept clear of parking, and this site is protected since there is no drive aisle right here, so that was an important consideration when coming in, that there would be no queuing or stacking issues and conflicting movements from the north here. So that was, and there's obviously nothing that can go to the north as well coming from the south there. It'll be a one-story building, about 40 feet or so in height. One other thing, so we have large landscape buffers in this area, 40 feet. Again, to provide appropriate buffering. And right here is my landscape plan, just drawing and really more specific on this area. And to my elevation. I think it's in here, right? Mm-hmm. Here it is. And you can see more clearly the elevation, again, most importantly, the loading zones and docks interior to the site. So we have a favorable staff recommendation, agree with all those conditions, and more than happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you so much, on to questions and comments from the public on this item. Seeing none, we'll move on to questions and comments from the board. Go ahead, Paul. I actually have some questions.
Pardon?
I actually have a couple questions. Thank you. Could you just tell me, just if you can point out on the site map, the first one, just where all of the loading docks and everything will be?
Absolutely. So you can see the gray.
Okay.
Gray out area are the loading zones and loading docks. So everything, again, facing internal to the site here.
And then could you detail the buffer landscaping that you have against residential?
Yes, absolutely. So right here, we have any color? So this is the land, so here I can show you again, but if you recall, we have the green border.
Mm-hmm.
So right here, this is a 40-foot wide zone in here for our landscaping.
Okay.
And we, the building is set back about 80 feet from the property line as well. So this portion is 40 feet with another 40 feet on top of that. I think we're about 80 foot. So I think it's 79 to be exact.
Yeah. All right, I believe there was the motion to approve. Okay, the motion to approve all items, staff recommendations. All those in favor?
Aye.
Seeing none opposed, motion passes.
Great, thank you.
So much,
you guys have a great evening. Nice seeing everyone.
Application UC210713 Godoy Maria, use permit to allow an accessory structure not architecturally compatible with the principal building, waiver of development standards to reduce side yard setback for an accessory structure on 0.6 acres in an RE rural estate residential zone, generally located on the north side of Suncrest Avenue and the west side of Middlegate Road, alignment within Sunrise Manor. Is the applicant present?
I move that we trail it.
All right, we will
trail it to the end and then.
Yeah. All right, so we will.
So that next item is being moved. This upcoming item is being moved to the end.
So this item, yeah, so the one I just read into record, the use permit and waiver development standards, we will move to the end. All right, for the February 1st Planning Commission meeting. Application UC210723 Montgomery John H. et al. Use permit to allow an accessory structure not to be architecturally compatible with the principal residence. Waivers of development standards for the following: 1, reduced separation, and 2, reduced setback for existing accessory structures in conjunction with an existing single family residence on 0.3 acres in an RD suburban estates residential zone, generally located on the north side of Honey Grove Avenue, 1,000 feet east of Sloan Lane, within Sunrise Manor. Is the applicant present?
Did you say John Montgomery?
Yes, John Montgomery.
That he's got bad hearing.
No problem.
Can I come up with him to address you, please?
Are you the applicant?
Yes.
You're the applicant, or are you saying, would you like to speak on the item?
Sorry, I'm very hearing impaired.
We're
I
actually
can't
calling,
hear what you said.
No he's problem. So we're actually calling for the applicant.
Uh-huh.
Is he the applicant?
He's the applicant.
Okay, perfect. Okay, could you tell us about your application? You tell us about your application, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
I live at 6052 Honey Grove. It's a long street on the other side of Washington.
I'm sorry, could I have your name and address for the record, please?
Yeah, my name is John Montgomery. I live at 6052 Honey Grove Avenue. I came to Las Vegas in 1959. I have lived over there for 22 years. What happened was, and I'm sorry to take your time telling you this story, but one of my neighbors bought a big fifth wheel trailer. He brought it home, he parked it in the street. A couple days later, he came down and talked to me. I've been a mechanic all my life. I had a shop on Spring Mountain Road for 43 years. Anyway, he wanted me to wire up the lights and the brakes, and I told him I would be glad to. And in the process of that, I told him, Joe, there's something wrong with your chest. And And I convinced him to go to the doctor. Make a long story short, he had cancer and he's dying, but he swore me to secrecy. He has a bud business, and he said, if you tell everybody, my neighbors will all, everybody will quit my business. So I didn't say nothing to any of them, but they all complained because his trailer was on the street. And finally it got into pretty bitter complaints. They called the county. A guy came out in a pickup truck and he rode up the street and he wrote up 18 violations on one side of the street. I got a violation because I have a shade over an old motorhome that I've had for years and a little boat behind it. I had a contractor. My home is, as the level of the street goes down, the elevation of the homes is reduced. My home is approximately 2.5 to 3 feet lower than the neighbors. So the neighbors kind of, when they walk over to the wall, they look down into my property. Anyway, the guy did put up the shade, which was great, and been in there almost 20 years, but you have to be 5 feet away from the property line. My shade's only 3 feet. That's what I got the violation for. Behind it, I have a little storage shed that the same contractor built. And in the storage shed, I have fire sprinklers, and it's insulated, it's lined, there's lights, there's water in there. And because I didn't want anything to catch on fire. Anyway, I got wrote up for my shed being too close to the property line. So, I talked to the neighbors, and all of them decided to tear their sheds down, tear their shades down. And I said, why don't you apply for a variance? Well, the street I live on is very, 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 how do I put it? All different races and nationalities up and down that street, from everywhere, from all over the world. So you get numerous different languages from house to house. They didn't want to get involved because of the language problem. So I decided to apply for a variance. I don't know if you know how much it cost to do that. $1,950. But the reason I did it was I have fruit trees on one side of the shade that I planted 15 years ago. The fruit trees, one of the trees has three different kind of fruit on it. I bought it from the nursery here, and they were grafted onto it. Now then, in the spring, that tree blossoms out with three different kind of fruit, which I share with all the neighbors. I can't eat all that. I live alone. My wife died last year. So my neighbors all benefit from that. And when I said to them, I'm going to have to cut the trees down to move the shade. If I'd known the trees were going to grow that big, they're up against the edge of the shade right now. Anyway, they all of them signed a paper saying they did not oppose me getting a variance. You can drive past it any time, and the pictures that the county sent me, my neighbor was building a motorhome. So if you look at the pictures from the front, it looks like a big building right there. It isn't. It was the motorhome he was building. Anyway, that's my whole story. I'm applying for a variance because I don't want to cut the fruit trees down.
Okay, thank you, John.
Okay.
All right, we will move on to questions and comments from the public.
Yeah, my name is Lance Larson, 6049 Honey Grove. I'm directly across the street from him. When he came and told me that he had a violation, I thought he was joking because I've lived across the street for 16 years and I knew it was there, but I don't know it's there. And it would no way affect my home value, and I don't know, I've never been to a board like this, and I'd just like to say it doesn't affect the neighborhood. I know rules are rules, but I'd just like to put them 2 cents in that I live across the street, and it's not an eyesore or anything else.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right, are there any other questions and comments from the public? All right, we'll move on to questions and comments from the board. None?
I move to approve. Staff recommended to approve, and I move to approve.
All right, so we have recommendation for approval. All those in favor?
Aye.
Seeing none opposed, motion passes. You are approved. You are approved by the town board. So just make sure you go to the next meeting, the planning commission meeting, the planning commissioners meeting on the 1st?
Yes, ma'am.
Make sure you go to that one.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you so much. Have a good
night.
Thank
you, Board. Thank you. Good day.
Next item for the February 1st planning commission meeting, application WS210712, August Kathleen and James. Waiver of development standards to increase the height of a block wall in conjunction with an existing single-family residence on 0.2 acres in an R1 single-family residential zone, generally located on the west side of Finchwood Lane, 200 feet north of Mirror Lake Drive, and 870 feet north of Bonanza Road within Sunrise Manor. Is the applicant present?
Good evening.
Hi. Could I have your name and address for the record, please?
Kathleen August. 951 Finchwood Lane.
Tell us about your application.
It is, yes, I had no idea what I was going to. Okay. First of all, I bought the property on Finchwood Lane in December of 2019. We bought a long distance. We were in Florida at the time. We had lived here before, and we would go to Florida and retire and did not like it, and we moved back. So we bought the house, did videos through the real estate office and all that. So upon finally getting there, purchasing the house and moving there, we would notice that we would go out in our backyard and our neighbor's dogs, two big German Shepherds, would be sitting on the walk, barking at us every time we were in the backyard. We have a pool. We want to enjoy the pool. Spoke to the neighbors. They said they're outside dogs. They won't bother you. We don't know that, and my grandchildren would know that at the time either. So we had a contractor for the wall to come out. He came out, gave me a price. This is in 2020. Gave me a price for the wall. I said, okay, go ahead and put it up. He suggested that we go up 3 cinder blocks, okay? So we did what he said. He come the next day, put up the wall. A year later, I got a violation in the mail that we didn't get a permit. I had no idea about the permit because it was never explained to me. The contractor, I believe, should have known and told me. So I contacted him and I told him what's going on with this. I got this violation letter, and he tried to take care of it, and he came back to me and he says, I just can't do it, you have to do it yourself. So this is how I got into just stumbling across what to do and filed for a waiver because the wall's already there. Mm-hmm. So the only thing I have, because I'm not professional enough, is my own little hand-drawn.
Okay.
And a picture just showing you before and after. You can see the addition of the wall as, because we didn't finish painting it. So this is what I'm here. It's only the fear of not knowing if the dogs would come into the yard, and I have grandchildren. And the only reason why the dogs are able to reach that is because the people next door, they have a flatbed, and they park cars that they are working on so that they have the access to crawl, you know, jump on them and sit on the wall. So that was the only thing we had the wall put up for our protection and safeness of being in our own backyard, not knowing that we needed a permit. However, I would definitely, most definitely, have the permit if I would have known rather than going through. And I just wanted to get this straightened out.
Thank you so much, Kathleen. All right, are there any questions or comments from the public on this item? Seeing them, moving to questions on, or moving on to questions and comments from the board.
Staff recommends to approve, and I so move.
All right, we have a motion to approve with all seven recommendations. All those in favor?
Aye.
Seeing none opposed, motion passes.
Thank you
so much, Kathleen.
So thank
just make
you
sure
so
you go
much
to that next meeting, that
I
one
will
on the 1st.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, next item for the February 2nd Board of County Commissioners meeting, application DR210714, LVBN Property LLC, design reviews for the following: one distribution center and two finished grade on 7.2 acres in an MD Design Manufacturing AE65 zone, generally located on the north side of Las Vegas Boulevard North, 1,950 feet east of Bland Boulevard within Sunrise Manor. Name and address for the record, please.
Wade Takashima, 953 Rockledge Court, Henderson, Nevada, 89012. Representing the client. Essentially, the developer would like to build a warehouse distribution center. Actually, it's north of the previous one that came in, but right across the street from them. It's currently zoned MD, design manufacturing. We're not asking for any waivers. The waiver that we are asking for is we are exceeding the standard fill for the site that I guess they make you come through the design review process. Essentially, we have a drainage channel right now that we're connecting. We're going to be building the underground culvert to control the water through the properties to the, I guess that would be the kind of the north to the south to Las Vegas Boulevard. And we're going to, instead of having it surface flow, we're going to be putting it underground. And that's kind of why we're asking for the increased fill to get the culvert and the flood control system through. Besides that, we're not really asking for any waivers. It is up against residential. We're providing intense landscape buffers. Diagram you can see. And we're going to be building taller perimeter walls that are up against the residential zoning. Everything's in compliance with the zoning code. If you have any questions, this is kind of what it's going to look like. Any questions?
Okay, thank you so much, Wade. Are there any questions or comments from the public on this item? Seeing none, we'll move on to questions and comments from the board.
Here's the deck.
What's that? Yes. So it's 163 feet at its closest. It's much further.
Right here? That's 163 feet?
Oh, no. This one is this one's 50 feet. And that's what.
And then what about this corner?
This corner is, 99'6". So this is the kind of the representation of the 50 feet. And this kind of had,
zoom out.
This is kind of the, we're complying with this code section right here, figure 30.56-10. Essentially, we have an intense landscape buffer, two rows of trees spaced 10 feet on center, and we're going to increase the block wall to 10 feet versus 6 feet. And then that's kind of what we're proposing to comply with the code.
Well, you're asking the question to the other developer. Where's your docks going to be relative to residential?
Yeah, so the docks they're not facing the residences to the north. They are facing a portion of, I would say, let's see, 5, 6, 7, 8 homes to the, I guess that would be the east side, and that's where it's that's 163.
Yeah.
And then we'll have a 10-foot block wall and then intense landscaping against that.
Is it the two rows of landscaping on that as well?
Correct. Okay. Pretty much the whole perimeter of the residential.
Sutherland Properties, Inc. Zone change to reclassify 12.2 acres from a C1 local business zone to a C2 general commercial zone for a future development generally located on the south side of Charleston Boulevard and the west side of Broad Alvin Drive within Sunrise Manor. You can add this to the record, please.
Good evening, Chairwoman and Board. Lebanon Ohini, 520 South Fort Street, representing the applicant. This request is for conforming zone change from C1 to C2 without development plans at this time. It is to C2 zoning. The property is located south of Charleston and west of Broader Bend. It's kind of a weird name for a street lane. And the request is to zone the property and then come back through with a development plan and meet, you know, at that time, staff would look at all the plans, assess it, and ensure compliance to both the code, and if it doesn't comply, we'll have to do the appropriate applications and also the design review at that time for the application. So staff has recommended approval, and we would appreciate your recommendation of approval as well. Thank you.
Any questions or comments from the public matter? Seeing none, questions or comments from the board? Yes?
Yes, sir.
What do you anticipate as far as businesses are going to be in there?
We know it's going to be C2 type uses, but we're not sure as to their development. And the reason we had to come in first with the zone change without the plans is the plans are in development, and you know, property owners want to close. And there's been about 8 months that there's been back and forth. So it was best to do the zoning first and then complete the plans and present it. So it will be C2 type uses. And it conforms to both the old land use plan was CG and it's CM now. So it complies to the recently adopted one. So.
Move to approve with all staff recommendations.
We have a motion to approve with staff recommendations. All those in favor? Aye. Seeing none opposed, motion passes. Thank you so much, Lebanon.
Thank you, Board, and have a good evening.
And with this last one, it doesn't look like anybody showed up.
No, it doesn't look like it.
Can we trail it to the next meeting? Because we've got a meeting January 27th that doesn't come up till the 1st.
Yeah, let's
motion to hold it.
I move to hold till the next meeting,
right,
to the January 27th meeting.
We have a motion to hold the use permit and waiver of development standards. Sounds like it's on the same street as John. All those in favor? Aye.
All right.
All right, we will hold that item.
Yeah, that's weird, because I was thinking the same thing, but one says it's in TIC zone, the other one says it's in Maryland zone. I wonder if that's a...
It's probably one of those ones where it's, you know,
yeah,
on one side of the street, other side of the street.
I'll look into it.
All right, so I think this is, okay, so now moving on to general business. Do you have any general business?
Well, I just want to thank the young man for showing back up,
yeah,
that we met in December. Thank you for showing back up.
Yeah. Oh, actually, I do have some general business. So the ZAP program for Clark County will be choosing the artist who will be doing their art on the big, what is it called? The big transformer at Bobby Price. They're choosing the artist next Thursday, I believe. I think they're doing it at a teacher. So if anyone wants to go, I'll be going. I'll be really excited for that. All right, so public comment. Do you have a comment? The public? Okay. All right, next meeting. Our next meeting is January 27th, and we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.